Bibles, please turn back to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to preach out of the same chapter, but a different part of Scripture tonight. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 47 through 52 together. Luke chapter 2, verses 47 through verse 52. If you missed this morning's sermon, I challenge you to go online this week and listen to it. It'll be a blessing to you. It was not your usual Christmas sermon, but I think you'll enjoy it. Luke chapter 2, verses 47 through 52, let's read responsively. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight, Holy Spirit. Teach us a truth tonight, a wonderful truth, a truth that the world seldom would ever even think of. Lord, it just kind of passes by us. We focus on this day and not what happened thereafter. I pray that you just help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So much of Christmas is wrapped up in Jesus being a baby. And he was born a baby, just so you know. He didn't come out 33 years old. All right? It didn't happen that way. But you go by and you see the little Catholic statues and you see the Mother Mary holding the baby. And it seems like, and by the way, I believe that Christmas was important, but that wasn't the big day. Jesus's big day wasn't his appearing in the manger. It was Calvary. It was the resurrection. It was his whole life. You see, most of Christianity is based on the fact that he was a baby. That's why we have a lot of baby Christians. We have a lot of people that are babies spiritually because that's all they think about. Can I tell you something? Jesus grew up. Yeah. Jesus grew up. Today, I want you to see that Jesus didn't stay a baby. Now, I'm not against it, but let me give you a few statements here. Jesus didn't come to earth to become man. He was already the man part of God. Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. He was already man. He came to earth, John chapter 1, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He put on a body that could die. See, Jesus couldn't die in his heavenly body for us. He had to be robed in flesh that could die. That's what the manger in Bethlehem was. He was being robed in flesh. He lived 33 years to live enough righteousness in the same body you and I have to take care of all of the righteousness that we would need for our account in heaven. That's why he didn't come in one day, just leave heaven, put on a body, get crucified, and go back to heaven. He had to live our righteousness. You could go through life without sinning and still die and go to hell. Because you need the righteousness necessary to get to heaven. It's not just the lack of sin, but it's the righteousness. God imputes his righteousness to our account at salvation. All right? It takes more than just the lack of sin. It takes the presence of righteousness. And it took Jesus those 33 years to live the righteousness necessary for you and I, for God to impute that righteousness to our account, so that not only is our sin washed away, but his righteousness is added to our account. That's what gets us to heaven. Now, tonight, I want to show you that Christmas is a wonderful thing, but it's not the whole story. Do you ever notice the world makes a lot of money on Christmas? Yes. Do you ever notice that probably the person that makes the least on Christmas is God? And I don't mean that the wrong way. And I'm not complaining. I don't mean that you ought to give everything you're supposed to give at Christmas to the church. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is we've commercialized it to the point where it's a day off to give everybody else gifts. And there's nothing wrong with giving of gifts. Nothing. I think we overdo it. I think we go in debt way too far to do it. I think we hurt ourselves way too much. But I don't believe anything's wrong with it. You see, he was born as a child to live so that he could die for our salvation. And I want to tell you this. He grew up. He didn't stay a baby. Christians today seem to have a baby mentality. They whine and cry when they want something. They whine when they want something. They whine about everything to everyone, about everything they expect to happen in life that doesn't happen. Uh-oh. I can't believe God did this to me. I can't believe God would do this. How could a loving God do this? We whine and complain. The average Christian sounds like a baby. Can I tell you something? This isn't how life works. Do you know if you had a child and it never matured, never got out of that infant stage, you'd say something's wrong? You know, if Wiley at 75 years old, I mean at 50 plus years old is still whining and has to wear a diaper and cries about everything and mom's got to feed him a bottle, something's not right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We'd say, yeah, she'd smack him pretty good and hard and get him out of it, but let's face it, something wouldn't be right.
That's right.
Then why is it that when we start acting like babies and God says, I'm going to make you grow up a little bit, that we get mad at God for it? When we first get saved, we're babies, but God wants us to grow up. We would say something is wrong if a child never grew up. God is the same about us. If we don't grow up as Christians, God says something's wrong. I know this is not a politically correct term, but I'm old. We would call it being retarded, all right? That's not a slur to anybody. The word retard is a word that means slow. It's a musical term. If you look in your hymn book, every once in a while you'll see the word, the letters, R-I-T, period. It means retard or retardo, which is a Latin term for slow. Okay? So I'm not being unkind to anybody. You talk about somebody that loves special needs people, you're looking at the guy that loves them. I got a little special needs boy, little Gus, that's going to be my church greeter one of these days. Amen? I don't have any doubt about that. I'm grooming him to be my greeter. Doctor said never plan on that boy ever saying or doing anything worthwhile in his life. He'll never communicate with people. Well, he'll walk up the steps and reach his hand out and shake my hand. He'll give me a hug. He didn't give many people hugs. He started writing, and the first words he started writing were Jesus. He sings Jesus Loves Me. Amen. He's not even supposed to be able to talk. Guess what God can do? Amen. I'm for the special needs, but let me tell you something. We act too much like babies, and Jesus didn't come to be just a baby. That's all, folks. I had too much fruitcake this afternoon. You know, the Christmas baby grew up. Jesus grew up. I want you to notice that last verse we read in Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is a story when he was 12 years old. He was in the temple and Mary and Joseph had taken him there and they lost him. Matter of fact, they hadn't found him for 3 days. And they came back and he was sitting there talking to all the religious intelligentsia of the day. And they were astonished at his questions and his answers. And they would ask him questions and he would answer their questions better than any theologian had ever answered. Say, why? Because he was the Word of God. He was God in the flesh. Amen. And they were scratching their heads like this at him. And Mary said, look, you scared us. You scared your father and I. He said, what do you mean I scared you? Well, shouldn't I be about my father's business? And I want you to notice in the scripture, first father, little f. Second father, capital F. He wasn't going to be a carpenter. He was going to be the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
He must be about his Father's business.
Amen.
That was in the temple. He understood the scriptures. And let me say this. It's time for, like us and like Jesus, it's time for us to all grow up. Number one, we all start as babies. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are now. Doesn't matter how young you are. Everybody started the same way. Rachel's got one about to hatch now, amen? That little puppy's going to be born the same way every other person in this room was birthed. We all start as a baby. Nobody is born fully grown. And you ladies say, amen. Now, in the case of my son, Jeff, he was partially born, grown. He was 9 pounds, 2 ounces. I mean, he came out wanting steak and taters, amen? He was looking at some pictures my wife had out, and he said, Dad, I really was kind of pudgy. I said, not kind of, you was. Man, you was a ham, let me tell you. It was a big one. Can I tell you something? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. We're all born as baby Christians. When you get saved, you're a baby Christian. Doesn't matter if you get saved at 4, if you get saved at 84. Amen, Fred? He gets frustrated because I want to learn more. I want to know more. I want to know more. Calm down. You might be old in body, but you're not old spiritually yet, but you'll catch up. Don't worry. We all get born again the same way. We're all born as babies and need to grow. As we grow, did you know, as you grow, you want to grow to the next level quicker? Y'all know what I'm talking about? As soon as you get one starting to potty train and they finally get through that mess, then they want to be big boy or big girl. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then they want to go to school. Then they want to go to the next school. And then they want to drive. They hit those teen years, and boy, they're itching to, let me at least just go start the car. Can I back it up and down the driveway? Can I pull it around the parking lot? You know, all those wonderful things that we do. And they want that next level. Hitting home, aren't I? Then you get into high school, and you want to go to college or get into your career for life. And then you get to college and wish you didn't want it anymore. Amen? But babies don't, and people as they grow don't want to stay at one level. I think it was Brother Barnes and I were talking yesterday. He said, Preacher, he said, 50 scare you? I said, no. He said, that's a big number. I said, no bigger than any of the other ones I passed up. It really isn't. I'm not worried about it coming in 6 months, all right, or five or whenever it is. Doesn't matter to me. You say, why? Because I've decided I'm not anticipating getting too old. I believe the rapture will come back, but even if I do, I'm ready for it. I'm ready to embrace it. It does not bother me. Now, I'm not ready to be called grandpa yet. I can't picture being married to a grandmother yet, but we'll get there when the time comes, all right? Now, that sounds old. Now, babies don't do much for themselves. They depend on everybody else for everything they need. Can I tell you something? Baby Christians depend on everybody else for what they need. When a baby needs fed, a baby needs somebody to feed them or they'll starve to death. Can I tell you something? A baby Christian needs to be in church so they can get the feeding of the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
You need to be fed. You need to read your Bible, but you also need to be in church regularly so that you can grow. Without food, the body doesn't grow. I'm growing real good. Went from growing this way to growing another way. Did you know that a baby can't clean themselves? That's about as far as I'm going with that one, but y'all know what I mean. Can I tell you something? A Christian, a baby Christian, doesn't know how to clean their own life up. That's why we ought to be patient with them. That's why, but I believe that we all ought to be cleaning ourselves up.
Good.
I think we all ought to be growing. I think that as you grow in the Lord, you shouldn't buck God because, you know, nobody wants to run around with a dirty diaper forever. Why do we want to run around as an unclean Christian forever? You look at a kid that's run around all week long in a dirty diaper, never changed his clothes, and never went to the washroom, you'd say, that is one cruddy kid. You wouldn't want to be around him. then why do we as Christians get to a certain point and we don't want to clean ourselves anymore? Everybody doing okay? I didn't intend to be that rough. You know, it's fine at the start to let others feed you. years ago, somebody said, well, I went to your church, but I wasn't being fed. And I thought, well, you're being fed. You just didn't like the menu.
Right.
I promise you, you're getting fed.
Amen.
You may not have liked what was on there. It was military chow, and I flopped it on your plate, but it may not have been a smorgasbord. But you got what you needed to get through.
Amen.
So we all start as babies. Number two, this is my favorite point. You ready? Babies whine and cry for everything. Babies whine and cry for everything. Babies cry when they want something. Babies whine when they don't get what they want. Babies whine when they don't get the attention they want. Babies cry when they're scared. Babies cry when they're tired. Can I tell you something? Sounds like a bunch of Baptist babies to me. The average Christian whines and cries about just about everything God tells them to do. What do you mean I got to go to church on Christmas Sunday? I can't believe you'd make people go to church. Why wouldn't we?
Right.
I thought all holy days were nailed to the cross, Colossians chapter 3.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Why is it that when God does something, we want to whine and cry about it? When we face the effects of sin, you know, when you fall down and skin your knee up, you're going to cry a little bit. But did you ever get, maybe your dad wasn't as tough as mine was or as mean, but there came a point in time where crying got excessive. And I can remember hearing my dad say, and I know my two kids sitting here have heard me say this, if you don't stop your crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. Now, that never made sense to me as a kid. It did as an adult, but not as a child. You know, you just got a whooping and you're crying and quit crying. Wait a minute. But you learned how to turn it off real fast.
Yes.
There comes a point in time where crying becomes for attention and not because of the hurt.
Yes, sir.
And that's when it needs shut off. And as my dad would say, if you don't quit, I'll give you something to cry about. Guess what? There comes a point in time where God says, either you knock it off or I'm going to give you something to cry about. And can I tell you this? You don't want to get whooped by God. He has a way of doing it that you'll never forget it. Let me tell you. Babies whine and cry about everything. Can I tell you something? Let's not be whiny baby Christians. I know when we get the new building, it's not going to be the exact shade you would have picked out on the vinyl siding or the interior. The carpet might not be like you want. You won't have the brand of toilet you want. You won't have the sink fixtures that you would have picked out. But can I tell you something? We're going to do what we need to do. And I can't get 100 opinions about it. We're going to do the best with what we got.
Yes, sir.
Let's not whine about it. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. I'm getting all this out of the way now so you don't whine when it comes. Amen? you know, did you ever scare a baby and watch them cry? I got in trouble for that so many times. One of the kids would be doing, and I'd scare them, and I'd think it'd be fun, and they'd start crying. My wife would just look at me, and I shouldn't have done that. But it was fun. Usually it was my daughter that cried the most. But anyway, she still does. But anyway, it, you know, it's we cry about everything. Well, I just didn't get my way. I can't believe I didn't get the toy I wanted for Christmas. Well, I wanted this. I can't believe God didn't give this to me. I don't understand why God did. Why do we whine and complain? Why don't we thank God for what we do have?
That's a good idea.
Ashley's grandpa's not well and probably not going to be with us much, much longer. I told her this week, I said, enjoy the time you got with him. She said, I'm just not ready to let go. I said, you might not be ready, but you don't have any control over that. You better enjoy the time you got.
Yes.
I said, look how long you've had him. She sent me a picture this week. He was sitting up in his hospital bed reading the paper. She said, he's having a better day. And I thought, yeah, I know what it was like. Grandpa's okay if he can read the paper. Amen. Some of them old timers, they weren't happy unless they could read the paper. He's sitting there reading the newspaper. I thought, that is a picture for all ages, let me tell you. I told her, I said, how sweet. What a precious memory. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. I talked to my grandma yesterday, 98, almost 99 years old. She's sharp as a tack, let me tell you. And I know the day's coming where I'm going to pick up the phone on a Saturday afternoon to call her, and I'm going to go, she's not there anymore. She's in heaven. I'm not gonna cry over it. I'm going to enjoy the fact that I've had it for all these years. Yes, 26, 27 years, I've been calling her every Saturday. I'm going to enjoy it while I got it. The day's coming where I won't have it to enjoy, but I'll enjoy it while I've got it. Number three, and I'm done. How do we get babies to grow up? Number one, they need to eat good food regularly. They need to eat good food regularly. Can I tell you something? You get Christians to grow by feeding them good food. Yeah. There it is. As I said to that old feller I won to the Lord Thursday that's dying of cancer, I said, I'm not one of these polished TV preachers that give you all this garbage. I said, I'm not a filet mignon. I'm just meat and taters. Can I tell you something? There's something good about meat and taters, though. It'll sustain you. I believe we ought to be at church. I believe we ought to pray. I believe we ought to win souls. Can I tell you something? As you grow up, you need to try new things. You really do. You know, you got to introduce new foods to kids as they get older and older and older, you know, especially when they're babies. They go from milk to introducing cereals to introducing baby food or whatever. I forget. It's been too long ago. Amen. Then they get to a certain age, you just send them out in the backyard and let them graze. Especially if you got boys. Lord have mercy. They need new foods. They need more food the older they get and the stronger they get. Them boys turn 13, 14 years old, and they get holler legs, and you can't fill them up. Amen, Brother Mike? Man, Brother Mike used to say, Brother Bush, I can't believe how them boys eat. He said, they pack it in there. Yeah, they do. But it catches up eventually. I mean, it doesn't catch up, it catches out. Amen? But babies, you know, you hold them up so that their legs get stronger. You know what I'm talking about. They can't stand on their own, but you hold them up, and they start doing this with their legs and kicking their legs back and forth, and they look all cute and cuddly. You say, what are you doing? You're exercising them, get their legs strong enough to hold them up. Eventually, you start holding them by the fingers and let them try to stand on their own, and you let go and watch them go on the bottom. You know, it's a good thing God teaches you to walk when you're that size, because if you fell like that when you're our size, you'd never get back up. Man, we're too far to fall and too much to fall with. But you get their legs stronger, and eventually they'll pull themselves up and they'll stand on their own. And then you try to teach them to walk, and eventually they get the balance and the strength to be able to walk. Isn't it amazing? Teach a kid to walk, and then mom picks him up and carries him everywhere. Man, God gave you two legs, kid. Walk. Amen. I'll walk you till you get tired. Wait a minute. You got to try those new things to get stronger, to get bigger. That's why you go from just with crayons and markers to let's try to stay inside the lines. You got to try new things. Then you give them a pen or a pencil, and they got to learn how to write letters in their name. You're trying new things. That's what school's all about. You're learning new things all along to get through that process to be able to get through life. You say, well, how's that apply to Christians? That's why we're supposed to go soul winning. That'll teach you a whole lot about your Christianity. Trust me. You'll learn words you forgot. I've been called everything there is to be called, and then some things I didn't even know I could be called. It's amazing. But I've also seen a lot of people get saved.
Amen.
A lot. I told a preacher friend of mine in Texas about the fella I won Thursday. He said, Brother Bush, you need to write a book about soul winning experiences.
That's right.
I thought, why? I'm not sure I could remember them all. I don't think anybody want to read them all. Mm-hmm. I said, it's just like all them babies being born. Who wants to read all the stories about every baby being born? I said, it's just fun going soul winning. You get to the point where you just like doing it. Amen. That means inviting visitors. Do you know it's not hard to invite people to come to church? It really isn't. Take a handful of gospel tracts, and everywhere you go, like the hospital at the nurses and doctors, amen, Brother Fred, there's not one doctor or nurse at University Hospital that Fred hadn't talked to, I promise you. I was walking down the hall after being in his room, and some nurse walked by me and said, "Hello, Pastor." I said, "How'd you know?" She reached in her pocket and pulled, she said, I said, "Oh, you were?" She said, "Yeah, I was at Fred's room." She recognized the picture. You know, I love it. That's called growing. You know, you do that long enough, eventually you get the courage to invite somebody to church. And then you and get the courage and learn some things and you start sowing into them. Same thing with tithing. You got to start doing it at some point in time. Just jump in. The water's fine. Many things in the Christian life. Can I tell you something? You'll read that book and sometimes it won't make sense to you. But read it anyway. God didn't say you're going to understand everything about it. You know how many times I have read that book? I have spent over 33 years of my life in that book. I'm on my fourth time through this year. This year. I won't get all the way through four times, but I've completely read three times and starting on my fourth time through. I live in that book. Do you think I understand everything I read? No, it's a living book. It was written by God. I'm not God. I don't understand it all. But the more I read, the more I get. I promise you. You know, we don't look at what we cannot do. We just got to keep trying what we're supposed to do. You ask that little baby sitting in that little bouncer thing going like this, if it's going to get up and play basketball one day. It doesn't even know what a basketball is. But eventually it'll be able to. They don't have the wisdom to see, but they've got to be able to get strong enough to do what they need to do for the next level. That's called growth. Christian growth is much the same. I want you to grow. I want our church to grow. I want us to help others to grow. I was talking to a man this week, and he's been to our church a few times and going through a very, 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 very difficult time. God's starting to show him some victory. He ran from God for the last about 5 years. Been through unbelievable situation. In the last 3 weeks, God's turned it all around for him, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I know it's the church." He said, "First sermon back," he said, "you nailed my hide to the wall." I said, "I didn't mean to." He said, "No, it wasn't you." He said, "It was God." He said, "I needed it." He said, "You weren't preaching hard. You were just preaching at me." I said, "Are you sitting by Fred?" I said, "I didn't know." He said, "I know you didn't. That's why I'm telling you now." He said, "But I needed it." He said, "It's amazing. I started listening." He said, "Instead of getting mad at God, I started getting closer to God, and God's starting to work everything out." He said, "It's exactly like what you preached." He said, "I guess I just need to grow back up, don't I?" I said, "Yep, a little at a time. A little at a time. You'll make it." Can I tell you something? Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And he didn't stay a teenager, thank God. He grew from there. Became a man, and he fulfilled his purpose. That's what God wants for your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Promised I would stop before 7 tonight. I did. Who would say, "Preacher," somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed. I needed it personally. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens of hands everywhere. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, why don't you just move forward, and if you raised your hand, just kneel at this old-fashioned altar and tell the Lord what you need to tell him and ask him for what you need to ask him for.